some sauce for that pork?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In a little more than an hour, President Obama will sign a $410 billion budget, one that keeps the government running for the rest of the fiscal year. But the bill includes thousands of earmarks for legislative districts that the president says he's not happy with. Some Republicans have been hounding him about the need to send the bill back because of all of that fat. But Wisconsin Democrat Ron Kind says Mr. Obama knows what he needs to do.
This president understands that more work needs to be done when it comes to earmark reform. So again, it's credible in the eyes of the American people. We are, after all, the stewards of their money, and we have to be responsible with it.
The president is set to announce earmark reforms today after he signs the measure. After their best rally of 2009, stocks are continuing the trend this morning. The Dow is up about 1%, about 65 points. NASDAQ up 1.25%. Same for the S&P 500. Office retailer Staples reported a drop in profits for its last quarter, and high-end retailer Neiman Marcus swung to a loss from a year ago. Asian markets closed higher. The Nikkei up 4.5%. Hong Kong shares rose more than 2%. And European markets pretty much flat, although Frankfurt and Paris are up 1 to 2%. The Bank of England is kicking off today a pretty controversial move. In effect, it's creating new money. But as you can imagine, it gets more complicated than that. Our London correspondent Stephen Beard joins us right now. So, Stephen, how does this all work?
Well, this, Steve, is the last tool in the toolbox. Central banks here and in the US, of course, have cut interest rates close to zero. There's not much left in the locker. What they are attempting to do here in London is pump more money into the economy by this process called quantitative easing. What they do is they create, in this case, about $100 billion and use that money to buy long-term government bonds from the commercial banks. They hope then the commercial banks will use that money to lend to individuals and businesses to revive the economy.
What makes this so controversial then?
Because having created all this new money and pumped it in, it then can be quite tricky getting that money back again. If demand does bounce back, there is a danger you're going to have too much money sloshing around, too much money chasing too few goods, the classic definition of inflation.
So, Stephen, is the Federal Reserve watching all this?
Very much so. This is a policy which hasn't been tried in either the UK or the US before, and the Fed will be monitoring this very carefully and considering whether or not to follow suit at their policy meeting next week.
All right. Our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Accused Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff could be facing his final hours of freedom. His lawyers acknowledge that he'll plead guilty tomorrow to charges in one of the largest investment scams in American history. The former NASDAQ chief faces 150 years in prison. There may be a new twist in the investigation of bonuses at Merrill Lynch, those payouts that took place right before Bank of America took over. The Financial Times reports this morning that New York's attorney general may be looking at whether the early payments led to Merrill traders marking down their portfolios. The FT says a change to the books in December would make it easier to post gains right out of the gate in the new year. You're listening to The Morning Report on Wednesday, March 11th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Do you know what the uptick rule is? Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill say we need it back to help rebuild confidence in the stock market. They expect the Securities and Exchange Commission to soon restore this stock market restriction on traders who make their money when stocks fall. Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon explains.
The return of the uptick rule would please those who wish certain short people would just go away.
Don't want no short people around here.
The short people in this case are short sellers. They borrow other people's shares and sell them in hopes the stock price will fall. If they can turn around and buy the stock back cheaper when they return it, they pocket the difference as profit. Opponents complain stocks can be pushed lower when too many short sellers pile on. There was a rule limiting such trading to only when a stock's value was on the rise, an uptick. But the 1930s-era curb was dropped 2 years ago, just before the markets tanked. and are the defenders of the short people.
Short people are just the same.
Eric Newman is a portfolio manager at TFS Capital. He insists eliminating the uptick rule wasn't to blame for the market's woes.
You know, the crash of 87, the bear market of 2002, you know, all of these things happen while the uptick rule was alive and well.
Opponents concede the change isn't the only problem, but Clearbrook Financial's chief investment officer Tom Sawanek says unbridled short selling has added to the crisis of confidence.
We've taken these stocks down to levels that cannot be justified based on fundamentals. We've gone to the other extreme.
Sawanek argues every little bit of restored confidence, namely a return to the uptick rule, can only help. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Today, eBay hosts financial analysts at its headquarters in San Jose. It is an effort to counteract the beating the company's stock has been taking over the past few months. Investors are spooked. It seems more consumers are looking for online items with price tags instead of taking their chance on an auction. Amanda Aronchek has more.
Remember the thrill of winning that rare Beanie Baby at your first online auction? If you're like most consumers, that thrill wore off pretty fast.
The problem is that people don't want to wait a week to find out whether or not they got the item. They want to kind of get in and get out.
Krista Quarles tracks internet companies for Thomas Weisel Partners. She says eBay has struggled this past year while its main competitor, Amazon, has grown. Both now sell fixed-price items, but she says Amazon is where people look first. And eBay's auction marketplace, what it's best known for, it isn't the moneymaker it used to be. So today, analysts expect to hear a lot about eBay's other online business, PayPal.
We've kind of joked that they're essentially going to change the ticker to PYPL, i.e. focus on the PayPal business away from the marketplace business because there's not really a positive story there.
Quarles says that PayPal generates a third of eBay's revenues, and she says it has the potential to become an online payment franchise to rival Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
The closest most of us have gotten to having a relationship with a robot is the floor dust picker-upper Roomba. Truth is, robotic technology is on the brink of much bigger applications, from healthcare to warfare and more. In San Diego today, a conference is attracting a record number of researchers interested in how to make machines work better with you and me. Caitlin Carroll reports.
We've watched robots who want to act more like humans. Remember this guy?
Wall-E.
The adorable garbage collector in the film Wall-E. The real trick is making robots that understand what a human wants.
If the person is pushing with the hands, showing, go away, stay there, the robot is trying to see that person's intentions.
Adriana Tapis is one of the conference coordinators. She foresees robots that can care for an Alzheimer's patient or treat a wounded soldier on the battlefield. Defense and healthcare have been the focus of much of this research in recent years, but robotics industry expert Dan Kara sees wider applications.
Particularly in the area of educational robotics, smart toys, something they call hobby robots.
Basically, robots you assemble and program for your own amusement. Whatever the application, the robotics industry raked in an estimated $11 billion last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
By the number of initiatives President Obama's trying to tackle, it seems like he's been in office a lot longer than 50 days. Education, greenhouse gases, healthcare reform, the list goes on. Commentator Will Wilkinson says the wish list should take a backseat to more pressing economic issues.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel has said. Never waste a good crisis, is how Secretary of State Hillary Clinton put it before a European audience last week. The author Naomi Klein has dubbed the exploitation of crisis for political ends the shock doctrine. Klein says it's a special tactic of the right, but as Emanuel and Clinton make clear, it's just how politics works. Not about to waste his opportunity, Obama's going big. A cap-and-trade carbon permit system, a fundamental overhaul of American health care, and huge new subsidies for green technology are just a few of the big-ticket items the president wants to nail down before his window of crisis closes. Meanwhile, there's the crisis itself, which only continues to deepen. At its heart is the wreckage of the American banking system. So what is the administration's plan? Even the experts are struggling to say what it comes to. The transparency Obama promised has not been forthcoming, and the new Treasury seems about as cozy with the banks it's bailing out as the old one. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has already been honored with a Saturday Night Live sketch portraying him as the embodiment of indecisive ineffectuality. The markets, unnerved by the government's lack of clarity, continue their freefall. During the campaign, Obama repeatedly said we took our eye off the ball when we invaded Iraq. The real problem, he said, was Al-Qaeda, and he was right. But now I fear Obama has taken our eye off the ball. While focusing so much energy on not wasting the crisis itself has deepened from neglect. So let's get our eye back on the ball before the crisis wastes us.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Finally, you heard our commentator talk about the indecisiveness of Treasury Secretary Geithner and the Obama administration. They've been hammered from all sides for not providing enough details about their plans to reverse the fallout. Last night, the secretary, Tim Geithner, told PBS's Charlie Rose it was all on purpose.
It was always our intention to lay out that broad framework of strategy at the beginning so people could see the full scope of the strategy and then lay out the details. Now, you're right, expectations got ahead of the policy.
Geithner says we can expect, in a couple of weeks, details of a public-private proposal for dealing with bad bank assets. They think the move will help unfreeze tight credit markets. We'll see how everybody reacts to that. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.